So I felt that that was encouraging for me. I thought, yes, we can do that. The key thing was, of course, that they persisted. They got a word from the Lord and they persisted. They didn't stop. They kept praying until they heard the Lord say right now, or until they knew that they'd reached the Lord, or until it began to happen. And I thought, you know, that's really, really encouraging. I like that. You know, we could do that. There was only two old ladies. I don't know how many elders got involved. I'm not saying we have to do that. Or, you know, you don't want to copy necessarily what someone else did. But you know, something like that's doable. And I've been trying to think now, you know, they got a word from God. And what encouraged me was that they got this word and they knew it was from God. And they knew this is what God's saying. And we're not giving up until we see what you said come to pass. And that's what we're supposed to do, actually, with the promises of God. When God gives us a promise, we lay hold of them, we declare them, we pray them, and we keep on praying until that promise comes to pass, even if it takes years. And I think sometimes we forget, we stop. And it's a bit like, remember, if you remember Zechariah, at the birth, who was John the Baptist's father. He was in with the angel, and the angel said, "You're not going to speak," and all that kind of stuff. And he said, "God has heard your prayers." Now I think they'd given up because he's going, "How's that going to happen? My wife's past childbearing age, and look at the age I am," which says to me he'd stop praying. They got to that point, so we're not going to get it. But the Lord said to him, "I have heard your prayers, Zechariah." Isn't that awesome? You know, even when we stop, if we kept on going and stop, he still hears. He hasn't forgotten. So just throwing that out there. So I've been trying to think, Lord, what have you been saying to us when we came here to this church? And I remember when our team was praying together, we got a lot of pictures of this. We got a lot of pictures of fire falling on the church and actually over all of Slough. Remember Costas getting it, and someone else got the picture of this. There were flames all over Slough. And then when we had our launch day Tom brought that picture, which we've got somewhere, of that little flame. And I thought, is that what you're saying? But I just was reminded this morning, they were praying, and Simon, we prayed for him. We said, "Simon, you pray for us," and because I like Simon, praying for us. Simon prays well. Anyway, Simon's walking around and he says, "Oh," he said, "it's like I'm." This might not be exactly. I remember the end, but he said, "It's like I'm walking through this kind of foresty thing, and it's kind of a bit barren and brown." And he said, "I look down at it, and all of a sudden, I can see lots of these green shoots popping up. They're popping up," and I thought, "Oh my gosh!" You know, you have those "oh my gosh" moments. When we left to come here from New Zealand, a friend of ours who's a really well-known, you know, who is a recognized known prophet in the country, in Pentecostal circles in New Zealand, said to us, he said, "I see a branch and I see all these little shoots starting to grow." He said, "Go after the shoots." And then Julie reminded me this morning and said, "I remember that." I said, "Remember when we were praying? I got that picture because Julie got a picture of the same thing, little shoots growing up." And we went, "Oh my goodness," you know, so that was way back at the beginning. Now, we've just had that refreshed. Simon got the same picture. We've just been reminded of it. This is what God has said to you. Now, I'm sharing this with you because when the Lord reminds you further down the track, it kind of means get ready. And Pete's prophesied, a number of us have prophesied, now is the time. But prayer is the thing that will bring it to pass. Prayer is the thing that will bring it to pass. So in your prayers, and I hope this book is encouraging you to pray in the power of what happens when we just start seeking the Lord. When you're praying, pray for the buds. Lord, we're going after those buds. We want to see these buds grow and just show us where they are, because buds are new life, new shoots, it's salvation. It's all those things. It's stuff that wasn't there before growing. So that's what the Lord, if you want either of those two pictures, that's what God's saying to us. Go for that. Go after the buds. So when you're praying, think those things and pray over them. And do you know what? Even if we are fervent and we persist and we continue with what we think the Lord's promised us and we do it, even if we've got it wrong, I think he gives it to us anyway. Because he responds to the passion of your heart. He responds to our heart and what we want. And we're saying, Lord, we believe you've said this to us. We want this and we ain't giving up until you give it to us. And even if it wasn't what the quote, well, that wasn't quite the picture, but then mine will give it to you anyway. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's so. Hold that in your hands, in your hearts as you pray. Well, that wasn't the message for tonight. That just came to mind. There's that lovely picture in the book of those of you who read it about Obed-Edom. Do you remember reading this stuff about Obed-Edom? Who remembers that? In the Old Testament, in David's time, you remember the story. David's taken the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he was being a bit flippant. He just ditched on the back of an ox cart and roared it off, which was what you were not supposed to do. So in the Lord's eyes, it was treating him a little bit kind of flippantly. And so there was an accident, and one of the priests got singed on the top, and David got, what have I done, what have I done? So they took the ark, and they left it at this guy's house, the nearest place, just happened to be this guy, Obed-Edom. So all of a sudden, this guy has got the Ark of the Covenant sitting in his house. This holy thing, the holiest holy thing, where, as far as they understood, the presence of God dwelt between the two wings of this thing. I haven't got a picture of it. But anyway, so it's in the house. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, he makes some comments. What was he thinking when that thing came? But the interesting thing is that when the presence was there, Obed-Edom's property and his business and all that kind of just flourished. It absolutely flourished. He started making lots of money. His house was blessed. Everything was blessed. It must, you know, and Pete makes us that it must have been laughter in the house the whole time. Well, it would be in the presence of God. It was fullness of joy. They were probably having a riotous time. You know, everything. No, and then he says, well, David probably got a bit jealous of this. Hey, whoa, whoa. He's got the, and he's getting, And I think it's a cool thing. But he makes the point that later on, he finds Obed-Edom pops up differently. And he wonders if it's the same one. And wonders if here's Obed-Edom who wants to serve in the temple. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was there. And he's saying, I believe that he's wanted to be as close to that ark as he could possibly get. So he got different jobs so that he could be in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now they made, and he makes this reference to Psalm 84. Can we get Psalm 84 up there? And I think it's a wonder, I've mentioned just briefly this psalm before, but it's always been a very special psalm. I've loved the psalm. How many of you love Psalm 84? Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Some of you will know it. Wonderful, wonderful psalm. I love it. I love it when I get through my reading thing and I get to that, hurry up, get to Psalm 84 and just enjoy reading this. Now this is the to the choir master according to the Gittith, the Son of the Sons. Oh my gosh, that's very hard to follow, isn't it? How lovely is your dwelling place. Now, you got the picture of the temple? There for me, Corey. Sorry, can I get that put up? Psalm 84, for the Jewish people, what they wanted to do is that they wanted to travel to, this is a picture of, I need my little pointer. My little pointer's in there. This is Solomon's. This is what they think Solomon's temple looked like. So it's important to get this picture in our minds because all the Jewish people had to go on this pilgrimage. Well, at any time, they could do it as often as they wanted. They weren't at a particular time, so they would go in a pilgrimage, and this is a psalm written from a person who longed to be here. This is the goal. This is where he wanted to get to. And because for the Jewish people, inside that building was the God literally dwelt. That's where his presence was. Manifest presence. I mean, those who understood the scriptures knew he was the God, the creator of the heavens. You can't read the scriptures and not know that. But the manifest presence of God lived inside this big thing here. And so this is what this story is about. It's about a man wanting to get there. And interesting, just quickly, it was written by the sons of Korah, who also wrote Psalm 42, "My heart thirsts for you." That's another interesting psalm. So let's kind of, this is a psalm. It's about, basically, it's kind of in three parts. Is that the one psalm, verses 1 to 4, which is the longing, 5 to 9, the going, 10 to 12, being there. If you want a very loose kind of, if you want that kind of stuff. But here is the sons of Korah saying, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Yahweh, God of heaven's army. My soul longs, yes, it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Oops, what's happened here? This has gone crazy. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." The first part's there. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." No. Sorry about this. My iPads are doing dumb things. There you go. Stay where you are. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, nothing's happening. That's the problem. Nothing's happening. Here's this first part. In other words, he's saying, "Where you live, I want to live also." So the first cry was out, "How lovely is your dwelling place? How lovely is your dwelling place? Hungry for his presence." Where's the dwelling place of God now? So what's he saying is here? What's he hungering after? He's hungering for the tangible, manifest presence of God. That's what he's after. That's what he's heading towards. That's what he's longing to do. His soul longs. Ever long for something? A couple of winter, was it last, I don't know if it was last winter or the winter before. You know, I think it was January and February. It felt like, and I think it was, we had grey days every single day. Every single day, I don't remember it, and getting towards the end of February, I'm thinking, God, can we have some sun? I want some sun. I'm beginning to long. I'm beginning to yearn. I'm almost fainting. I want some sunshine. Please, can we have some sunshine? That's longing. Anyone had longing? Anyone know what a yearning and a longing is? This is what this guy is doing it. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts. These are the courts. This area out here, where this is the laver, that's the altar of sacrifice, and inside there, that's the courts of the Lord. And in that place, somehow this guy, these people got close to the Lord. This is where they long to be. This is the yearning of this guy's heart. And Korah was a Levite, and it's possible, it was tracing through it, I looked it up, that Korah, these guys were actually helped and were in charge of the worship in the temple. Isn't that cool? So this is a song that he's written. As far as I can tell. And I love this. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Does your heart and flesh sing for joy? I love worship. It was good worship this morning. I just loved it. Does your heart sing for joy to the living God? His did. And he's not even living a new covenant relationship with God. Isn't this staggering? It provokes me to jealousy. How can you be? You don't even have what we've got. We've got a superior covenant. Yet this man, my heart and flesh sings for joy. Even the sparrow finds a home, a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. My King and my God. You notice up on the side of the that's the little torch thing. Oh, you can't. Can you see these things? I can't reach it. But you see those holes in the side? That was the window. So there was no panes of glass in those things. So the birds would get in. The birds, it doesn't actually say sparrow in the Greek, but it says, it just says birds and swallows. They could get in there and they get to build their nests. Now he knew, so that's what makes me figure he was a Levite, kind of got to go in the early bit. And he's jealous of these birds. who can just zoom in there, make a nest inside the building. They're right next to the throne. They're right next to the presence of God. And he's jealous. Even sparrows find their home. They can make a home right next to you. Can you feel it? Like, I wish I was one of them. I want to be that close. Even the sparrow finds a home. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. These sparrows got to live there. They had their home there. Blessed are you if you dwell in that place. Ever singing your praise. Hungering for the presence of God. Longing for the presence of God. I want to be where the presence of God is. Sounds like David, doesn't it? In Psalm 27. One thing I ask, or this is what I seek, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Same heart, same desire. Is that what you desire this morning? Ask me, is this what I do? I do. Do I do it well? Not really. But actually, it's the main thing that he talks about. If you read in the book, remember in the book, he makes the comment. Hope I can find it quickly, easily. One day we will be with the Lord forever, but what will we talk to him about once there are no more sicknesses to be healed, sinners to be saved, churches to be planted, and injustices that need to be fought? Too often we only pray about problems, conflict at work, friends who need healing, prodigals far from God. One day when the Lord invites us to walk with him in the cooler evening, in the evening, and there are no more problems we can possibly address in prayer, will we have learned simply to enjoy his presence, hallowing his name without asking for anything in return? You see, this is God's heart for us. Do you know, it's interesting, and I've talked about this before, Genesis chapter 3. You all know the story of that dreadful chapter, you know, when mankind fell and Adam and Eve sinned. Where was it that God was when Adam wasn't there? It said he came to Adam in the cool of the evening, like he said there, in the cool of the evening. This is the time of relaxation. This is the time the mates get round with a couple of beers. You know, that kind of picture. I don't know what women probably get together and have a Sherry, I don't know, but it's that picture of being out in the cool of the evening, walking out in the beautiful countries, and the still and the nice gentle breeze, and those lovely times when you can relax and you're with your mates and you just chat about stuff. How's your day been? Oh, no, this is great. Interesting, he didn't say, Adam, why haven't I found you out tending the garden? You're supposed to be pushing back the walls of that garden. You're supposed to be making this place beautiful. Why aren't you there? No, where God missed him was in the place where he wanted that close fellowship with him. And you can feel his heart if you see it. If you look at that passage with the eyes of grace and love, you will feel the heart of God grieved that Adam is not there in the place where he wanted to share personally, intimately, closely, good mates. That's where he missed Adam. That's where he wants us back. And here's this priest has obviously understood that, and God has begun to draw him. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. This is the next bit, and he's starting to go. He's getting on the pilgrimage. He's heading on the pursuit of the presence of God. I want to be where God is. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways. Actually, it says highways to Zion. And why was it saying that one? Oh, we haven't got it up there. It says highways to Zion in verse 5. It doesn't have Zion actually in the original language. We'll get back to that anyway. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the early rain also covers it with palms. They go from strength to strength, each one appearing before God in Zion. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. To seek the Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. There's nothing we can do that we can do in and of ourselves. We need God with us. We need the Spirit of God in us. He is our strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who know they need his strength, and in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Well, they set this. Other translation says, "In whose heart are the highways, or is their desire for pilgrimage?" What is a highway? What's a highway? Highway is real simple. A highway is something that's built for us to get from A to B. It's the only reason it's there, so that you can get from here and get to there. That's what a highway's for. Nothing else. It's not made to have picnics in the middle of. It's not made to stop and enjoy the scenery. It clogs it up. It has a few crashes. One reason that a highway's there, so that you and I can get from one place to the next, with the least interference, with ease. Blessed are those, what does it say? In whose heart are the highways. To where? To the presence of God. Blessed are those who carry in their heart those things that have a clear channel to the presence of God. That's what that means, what it means to me. In our hearts, it's where God meets us in our hearts. Blessed are you if you carry in your heart the thing that will get you to the presence of God at any moment you want to. You know where to go. You know where the road is. I know where the road is to go to the presence of God. For me, it's putting this on and playing some worship. And once I'm in the presence, I can actually sit for quite a while. I don't do it enough, but I can. That's what happens. It might be different for you. Some people like to read the scriptures. But there's a high blessed array. And in our hearts, we have them. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. A place of springs. The focus is his presence, remember. And the valley of Baca is the place of sorrows and pain. What do these people do? They turn those places of sorrow. These are the people on pilgrimage. They turn those places of sorrow and pain, and they turn it into springs. They start digging a well. They start digging a well. Because the word springs also means fountain, also means well. That has three different meanings. So what do? I'm in a place of sorrow and a place of weeping. And it probably means a dry, barren place. So they dig a hole in the ground to find the life water. And they dig a well. And the rains come and fill the well up. To me, it's a picture when we're in that place of sorrow and strain. Don't let that stop the journey. Don't let that stop the journey. Turn it into a place of springs. Dig a well. Let God fill that well up with life. Dig into the heart of God. Dig deep into the heart of God. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper in your spirit. Don't get out, go deeper. Because in the deep part of our souls, that's where God meets us and fills us with his presence. Fills us with his presence. Don't be driven away. Go deeper. Dig deep. And the rains of heaven will fall. The Spirit of God will come upon it. They go from and because of that, they go from strength to strength. Those who are on pilgrimage who go have learned the deep places of God, and they go from strength to strength until they each appear before God. And Zion is just Jerusalem. They all, in the assembly, they finally get to the place where they want to be. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. There's one thing he wants more than anything else, and that's to walk closely with you through everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, said the shadow of the deepest darkness, you are with me. And he wants to be there with you. And I really believe he wants to make himself known. One of my darkest moments, the Lord turned up. The most glorious experience I've ever had. I've shared it with you before. I don't want to go into that again. Amazing. Absolutely incredible. I was really just, you know, it was amazing. Verse 9, behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. A day in your courts, a day in the presence of God, I sing for joy. Where else does he want to go? Doesn't want to go anywhere else, but to be in the courts of the Lord. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Behold our shield. See where we see our shield's the thing that represents our defense. Behold it, Lord. See? Come and be our defense. Behold our shield. Take our shield for us. Look on the face of your anointed. Look on the face of your anointed. It's the same word that means Messiah. look on the face of your anointed. Daniel uses that. It's in Daniel twice. The word anointed is Messiah. Look, so who is the anointed ones here he's talking upon? He's not talking about Jesus. Who are the, look on the face of your anointed. Who are the anointed ones in this one, in this passage? The anointed ones are the ones who are seeking after God, who have decided, I want to be close to the presence of God. When our heart turns to his presence, when our heart turns towards him, the anointing comes. It's the same. Jesus was called Christos. Jesus Christos. The anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. Same meaning. Anointed. Mashiach. Yeshu HaMashiach is the Hebrew words. Jesus, the Messiah. And what are we? Christians. Anointed of Christ. Anointed ones. I don't think it wasn't little Christ. What was it? Can't remember what it was called. It's not miniature Christs. I think it meant lots of Christs. We are Christians. We are anointed ones. And this context of this is for those who make the presence of the Lord the thing we seek. Become the anointed ones. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Imagine a day, just a day, of close, intimate, up close, tangible presence of God. Of almost feel the love, joy, and the peace. Imagine it, a whole day. Just a whole day of that. Who can imagine that? Can you imagine that? You're all looking at me thinking, what are you talking about, Ian Moody? Imagine that. Just imagine a whole day in the love, joy, peace, and God. Tangibly. For the whole day. And this guy's saying, a day in your courts, a day in that presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. If you were to make that means a day in God's presence is better than 2.7 years somewhere else. 2.7 years. Just one day is better than 2.7 years off doing something where the presence of God is not. Interesting, isn't it? That's what he's saying. That's what it is. This is Flavia did this. She said, I hope the mass is right. It would be the same if it was an hour. 1 hour in that tangible, real love, joy, peace is better than 41.7 days away from it with the wicked doing all those hot things that the wicked do, getting out there and having a ragey time. Whatever. It's the same as that. Just 1 hour in his presence. 1 hour is better than 41.7 days doing other things. 1 minute in his presence. 1 minute better than 16.7 hours off doing something else. Just 1 minute. It's interesting. We'll go to a second. 1 second better than 16.7 minutes. Just thought it was interesting. Interesting, isn't it? It's better than. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be the bloke who stands at the door and checks whether you're allowed to come in or not and open the door for you and let you in. That's what a doorkeeper does. That's what I would rather be. I would rather be that than to dwell elsewhere with the tents of the wicked or the people doing it. This is where I would rather be. Because if this is the closest I can ever get, this is as close as I'm going to take. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather have the menial task. Rather than even being in the place, I'd just be glad to be at the door of the presence of God. That's hunger, that's passion, that's desire for the Lord. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The sun brings light, it brings life, it brings warmth, it brings all those good things that the sun, that we long to have the sun for. It's all those things, it's a picture of life, light, warmth, all of that. Think of the opposites to think of what it would be like without the sun. And a shield, he is the sun and a shield. He is our protection. He's our life. He's our protection. And he bestows favor. He bestows favor and grace upon people. Upon those who seek him like that, those who will come into his presence, he bestows favor and honor. Grace and favor. Honor is glory and abundance and reputation. You think of Jesus and the favor that he had bestowed on people, the most unlikely people. He favored them with his presence. God turned up at these people and he favored them with his love and his presence. For us, there was the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? Simon, who was the tax collector that people despised. Zacchaeus, another tax collector that people despised. Jesus favored them with his presence. Honored them with his presence. The King of Kings came and honored them with his presence. He bestows favor and grace. Paul, the great apostle Paul, absolute enemy, wanted to kill every Christian he would, throw them into jail, do something. Wanted to destroy this cult. Jesus favored this man with an incredible presence, with incredible wisdom. Even dear old Peter the fisherman. What happened to Peter? Just denied the Lord. But favor was given on a fisherman. How did that go with all the Pharisees and all the people who'd studied years, who knew all about God, who knew the Old Testament inside out, upside down, back to front? They knew what God was about. They knew what God was about. But God didn't want us to know what God was about. He wanted to know him. He wanted us to know him. Peter was favored with honor. God honored him above all the priests, all the temple people. God bestows favor and honor upon those who will hunger for his presence. That's who he bestows favor upon, according to this book. Nothing is withheld from such people. Nothing is withheld from the bounty of his riches, of his eternal riches, of his eternal glory, of the things that grant us for the riches of eternity, which at the end of the day is what we want, because the things of this earth do not last. But the things of his world do. And then he finishes, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Psalm 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your heart, make your path straight. It's about having real hearts. It's about not lying. It's about being open. It's about having integrity in our walk. Oh, so he said, no good thing does he walk withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's just being honest. That's just being real. That's making what we say is the same as what we live. No deceptions. No pretending to be something that we're not. Walking uprightly. The word integrity has all those meanings to it. Blessed are those people. So I go back to the thing at the beginning. In the cool of the evening, God's grief in the garden was that Adam was not there at the place of fellowship, at the place of being a mate, sharing, talking about anything. Talk about anything. Stuff, oh, God can't. God wouldn't be interested in this. Yes, he would. It's what he made us for. He wouldn't be interested in what I had for breakfast. Yes, he would, actually. You remember reading the book, he said he got Pete to stand in front of the tree. Look at the tree. So Pete's thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. He said, what about the tree? He said, well, I thought it was quite a good tree. That's it? Yes, that's it. Why do you have to be so intense? We have to learn to make the knowledge and the presence of God the prime thing, because it's from that life. Remember in the book he talks about Brennan Manning. Just, he said that what we do in our tradition is in that we spend an hour trying to get with the presence of God, so that out of that hour comes, when we go through the day, we know the presence of God and our prayers just come automatically. Jesus didn't have to run away and pray before he went out to minister. You know, he said, remember the time when that guy had that demonic thing attack the guy, and he just come down from the mountain, and Jesus said to the mouth, this type only comes out of prayer, and in some verses say fasting. And Bill makes the point, we don't notice that Jesus went away and prayed and fast when he saw what was happening. You know, we kind of pray, or we have a big ministry time and we better go away and pray and seek the Lord. I'm not knocking those things. But it's only out of that closeness, out of that walk with the Lord, that getting into his presence, that as we walk it, that we carry and are able to do what God can do, what God wants us to do. But that's first, that's what he's after. I know I've said this before, and I'm on it, and I'm saying it as much to myself as when I'm trying to get myself to spend more time to pray. Forget that end. Just stop. You know, when you've been through a hard time, you suddenly realize, you know, the only way I can get through is actually if I hang out with God. Your priorities begin to fall into place. Knowing Him is the goal. Knowing God is the goal. That's what the psalm is about. And that's what Pete's trying to tell us in this book. Before we can do anything else that we see, that we will discover as we read the book, this is the prime thing we have to get sorted out in our lives. We have to do it. It was in the cool of the evening where God wanted to meet with Adam. Just to hang out. Just to hang out. And that's what He wants to do with us. The cool thing about it all is we can actually ask for help. We can ask the Spirit of God, say, Lord, Spirit of God, I find this really difficult. Will you help me? Do you know what? He will. We're allowed to ask Him for help. He is happy to help. We're allowed to have fellowship. He's our comforter. He's our strength. He's the one that comes to us and enables us to step into everything of the kingdom, to do the works of the kingdom. Lord, I want to get close to the Father. Spirit of God, will you help me to get close to the Father? I just want to spend time with Him. Boom. You will find that help is there very, very quickly. Very quickly. All right, let's pray. Lord, we bless you, we bless you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. May our hearts long, even faint, for the courts of the Lord. Spirit of God, we need your help in this. I need your help in this. Now help us to find those moments and help us to make that time where we just know you. Where we just want to dwell, we just dwell in the presence of our Saviour. We dwell in Father's love just for the sake of being with Him and being with you. For no other agenda, for nothing else, just to be with you and to worship you, and that's all we get to do. And if we waste, in quotation marks, if we waste an hour doing it, it is an hour well spent. It's an hour well spent. Because we love you and we long for your dwelling places. The Spirit of God, stir us up for a hunger. Stir us up for a hunger that makes us almost faint, that drives us so hard, that we're so passionate about this. We're desperate for your presence, that if we don't get it, we're going to faint. Lord, stir us up and make yourself known to us that you are everything for us. Like the song says, for me, only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. Amen.